Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, let's pray and jump into this today. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for an open heaven of worship this morning that has set an atmosphere. Everybody say atmosphere. Lord, there's an atmosphere of an open heaven in here this morning to meet every need, God, that is in this place today, no matter how great, no matter how small or big, Father, in the name of Jesus today, Father, every need, everybody say every need, met by the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I brought a little prop to kind of drive today's message home. Anybody ever play on one of these? Yeah. How many's ever been the recipient of somebody jumping off one of these? Kabam! Now, I started to call this message Seesaw, but I like the name Teeter-Totter better. It's a teeter-totter, amen? Look at your neighbor, high-five two people around you and say teeter-totter. All right. Now, much like you, you have seen children and some adults, okay? And I may take volunteers here in a little bit, I don't know. But how many know that when kids get on that, one of them's going to go up, the other one's going down. And then it's going to reverse. This one's going to come up, and this one's going to go down. And back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. Hence the name Teeter Totter. Are y'all with me? Amen. So, I mean, that's how it's designed to work. Now, this teeter totter, believe it or not, it's probably 50 years old. I know it's at least 50. My granddad made this for me. So, I played on it, my children played on it, and now my grandkids play on it. Amen? Yeah. But I don't care what generation's been on it, one goes up, one goes down. And every generation, somebody's bailed out and let somebody smack hard. I mean, it's almost like the fun of it, you know. You know you've done it too, or you got it done to you, amen? But again, it's the way it's designed. It's supposed to be where one goes up, one goes down. It's you're high 1 minute and then you're low the next. And this basically represents the way a lot of Christians live their life. 1 minute we're up, and the very next minute we're down. Come on, say it with me, we're down. Unfortunately, again, this is how. How many know this can be fun for kids and adults to get on, but that's not fun as an adult life trying to live to be a Christian. That's what the devil wants to do to you. But how many know you wasn't designed that way? One Sunday you're up, man. God is good. Woo! Fired up. Rattle, rattle, rattle. By Wednesday, you don't even know if you're coming back. Come on. I know people that's been like that. So fired up on Sunday, Wednesday night, didn't show back up Sunday, like, I don't even know, we want to go back to church again. How about 1 week? Everybody say 1 week. 1 week. 1 week, man, in your marriage. Oh, this man, marriage is great. I'm going to talk about marriage since I get married. Marriage is wonderful. Marriage is great this week. Woo, woo. The next week, I don't even know if I'm going to stay with him or her. I don't know if we're going to make it. I mean, that can take place sometimes within 24 hours, but sometimes within a week, week to week, marriage is like, yay, and then nay. Teeter-totter. It's crazy. How about one paycheck? Man, one paycheck, you're like, oh, God, you're good. You're my provider. You're so awesome. I thank you for this, God. I thank you. I got your tithe. I thank you for this. And we got. And all of a sudden, you get a bill that's unannounced or a set of tires go flat. Lord, are you even real? I don't know if I can trust you now, God. Teeter-totter, teeter-totter. Don't you know that gets old? Whew. It gets old for God. It gets old for us. Put up our first note today. You see, we've become a people of emotional extremes instead of spiritual consistency. 1 minute, we're all good. Next minute, it's all bad. There we go, it's all good. Then it's all bad. Then it's all good. Then it's all bad. And it's like we've got accustomed to that lifestyle. And somewhere we think as Christians, our life ought to be like that. That's not scriptural. God never called us to live on a spiritual teeter-totter. 1 minute he's good, next minute he's bad. 1 minute he provides, the next minute he's abandoned you. That's not his design, but I'll tell you whose design it is. It's called the devil. Now don't put this first note up next, because this is the most important note. Usually I try to end with the most important note, but I want to begin today with the most important note probably you'll ever hear about your whole life. So make sure you lock in right now and you pay attention to this next note. Very profound, very simple, but it will bless anyone who applies this next note you're going to see. Put it up. Stop living by your feelings. Stop living your life day to day, moment to moment, episode to episode, circumstance to circumstance, by your feelings. I know it is counterculture to everything that you're being taught now in school and in psychology and sociology. Throw all that junk out. They're crazy too. Go with what God says. Don't trust your feelings. Trust God. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Stop living by your feelings. Now touch your neighbor and say, you were to get that. Because you know your neighbor need to hear that. James chapter 1, verse 6 and through 8 says this right here. But let he who ask in what? Faith. With no what? No teeter-totter. No up faith 1 minute, no faith the next. With no doubting, for he who doubts is like what? The Bible says you're like a wave. You're like a wave. What does a wave do? Up 1 minute, down the next. Up 1 minute, down the next. You're a wave that of the sea tossed by the wind. Next verse. For let not that man suppose, if you're on this right here as a Christian, the Bible says, let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Why can't you receive? Because you're too busy focused on this. The next verse goes ahead and says this right here. He is a double-minded man, unstable. He calls the people that are on this unstable. You want to know why? Because this ain't stable. This is unstable. He says you're unstable. Now watch this. In all your ways. Not just some of them. When you start trying to live your spiritual life on a teeter-totter, you're unstable in everything you do, touch, smell, taste, feel, smell, hear, whatever. I mean, that's just the way it goes. Now, you notice that the author here, James, he didn't compare us to a rock. Why? Because a rock is stable. A rock is a foundation. A rock is not moving. It's not being tossed around. He compares, everybody say compares, unfaithful believers. He compares unstable and unfaithful believers to a wave. Why would he choose a wave? Because listen to me, waves do not dictate of themselves where they go. They are completely controlled by the wind. You can be on a body of water, it be smooth as glass. Let a wind start stirring, what happens? Here comes the waves. The waves don't determine where they go. 1 minute the wind comes this way, they'll go this way. If the next minute the waves going, wind's coming this way, they'll go whichever way the wind blows. Much like many Christians. Whatever society says, whatever politics say, whatever the fascist thing says. Well, did that fall out of my mouth? It sure did, and it meant to. The wind decides where these people go. And the winds of our culture are directing most Christians and most even churches' lives. It's getting pathetic. Too many Christians today, you're being wind-driven instead of word-driven. Don't be wind-driven, be word-driven. Let this word tell you where to go. Let this word tell you how to respond. Let this word tell you how to react. Let this word be your faith and your guide to your life. And it'll guide you to the right place. This will take you into places you were never meant to go. Never meant to go there. But that'll take you because it seems like the right thing to do. And this, you know what happens when you're here? You start justifying. Yeah, comparing, justify, compare, complain, gripe, fuss, victim. It's always somebody else's fault. Now, I'm going to give you four aspects of this. Because these types of Christian, everybody say the win. Now, I'm talking about the W-H-E-N, win. Yeah, it sounds like win, so I made it close enough. When do we worship? When we're writing this? We only worship when we feel like it. If you've had a bad week this week, got some, maybe you got that bad report. Maybe that money got gone to a new set of tires or an air conditioning tore up and whatever. And you come in here and you're a little bit down and, man, these songs come on and you're like, well, you know, I just don't feel like worshiping him today. He hasn't been too good to me. Why should I be good to him? So most of the church and most Christians only worship when driven by the when, W-H-E-N, when they feel like it. A lot of Christians, when should we pray? We know the right answer, but let's give the modern answer, the real answer to a lot of Christians. We only pray when we're driven out of desperation. Oh, Lord, I need a breakthrough. The doctor called and says, I got this. Oh, Lord, I need a breakthrough. This bill came in, I got this. Oh, Lord, the car tore up and the air conditioner's out and the dog bit my neighbor. Lord, I need, when the winds blow that, you get desperate, you try to pray a little. When should we be reading our Bibles and studying them? Well, we know when. But when you're the teeter-totter Christian, only when you feel motivated to do it. We have to be motivated to read our Bibles, encouraged by somebody, and accountability. And we can't just face value do it on our own. And then the last one, number four, is when should we be serving? We know the right answer. But when you're riding, let me tell you something. This one hits big. When you're riding this thing, let me tell you when you serve, only when it's convenient. When nothing else is going on, it fits your perfect time, your perfect plan. You might consider it if nothing else is going on. So let's look at this wind, W-I-N-D, driven, teeter-totter Christian. They only worship when they feel like it. So when we feel like it, when we get desperate, when we feel motivated, and when it's convenient, we might actually do something. But if none of those needs are ever come into our play, we won't worship, we won't pray, we won't study our Bibles, and we won't serve. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Listen to me now, and I know this may sound strange. God is not looking for emotional Christians. He's looking for faithful Christians, steadfast, unmovable, will not be shaken Christians who lose excuses instead of gaining them. Let me say that again. He's looking for Christians who will start shucking the excuses instead of trying to look for more to pile on. I think he's looking for emotional. A good spiritual cry in the presence of God's fine. A good emotional shout and a happy and a joy, all that's good. But even that sometimes you have to fake. But don't fake it. Do what I say. Sometimes you got to do it by faith. It's not fake when you do it by faith. Because there's times the world is going to get onto you, and you just got to worship by faith until that feeling changes. Y'all okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be, everybody say, steadfast. And then the next word, say it with me, immovable. Steadfast means you don't go nowhere. Immovable means you ain't shaking. You ain't budging on things. Amen? That's right. Now watch this. Sometimes, better pay attention here. Sometimes when you feel like it, sometimes when you're desperate, sometimes when you feel motivated, sometimes when it's real convenient. Does the Word of God say that? No. What does the Word of God actually say there? Always. And guess what always means in the Greek?
Always.
That's exactly right. It means always. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. See, the problem isn't your emotions. Emotions have never been a problem until you let your emotions control you. Emotions are no problem for a child of God. We've got a spirit of God and a word of God that trumps and keeps our emotions in check. We have the same emotions, but our emotions are not given to us to control us. The Holy Ghost is given to us and his word to control our emotions. And a man and woman of God can do exactly that. You can control your emotions. You don't have to burst out. You don't have to be a nag. You don't have to get angry. You don't have to cuss somebody out. You don't have to be the victim. You don't have to justify your sin. Just repent from it. Y'all okay? The problem is we've allowed our emotions to become our spiritual authority. And that's a problem. Go ahead and put up the next note. Not some, but every area of our life needs this word we call consistency. Not teeter-totter, but consistent man of God, consistent woman of God. Not faltering, not flailing, not being just tore up from the floor up about everything you come and see into. Amen? John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. These are the words of Jesus. The first word is what? Go ahead and put it up. Everybody say abide. You're going to hear this word four times in these two scriptures, abide. The Bible says, this is Jesus speaking to people about him. He says, abide in me. The me there is Jesus. We are to abide in Jesus, and Jesus, he says, and I in you. So that's really a double compound of that word. The word really appears twice. We are to abide in him, and he says, I in you. The I in you means Jesus will also abide in you. Okay? Now watch this. As a branch cannot bear fruit in and of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me, Jesus. We can't have fruit outside of Jesus. Next verse. And then Jesus declares this, I am that vine. You are the branches. And he who, say it with me, abides in me, Jesus, and I, Jesus, in him, or you're talking about us, you're going to do what? You're going to bear not some fruit. It says you're going to bear much fruit. Bountiful fruit. Much means bountiful here. For without Jesus, we can do nothing. Without Jesus, this is where you're at constantly. Up, down, up, down. You ain't got no fruit. Come on. Now the word, everybody say abide.
Abide.
Go ahead and put it up. There's the Greek definition of the word abide. It's the word meno. Everybody, and it's literally pronounced in two ways. It's just are two syllables. Me, no.
Well.
I like those short Greek words. Me, no. It's kind of like me know this, but me not going to do it. Come on now. Of everything I said today, I ask you to remember the very first thing first. That's the one thing you're going to remember how to hear today. Me no do it. Me no. And here's what the word me no means, to abide. It means to remain. To remain doesn't mean I go up here and then I go back down here. It says I'm to remain, not be on this roller coaster. I'm to remain, I'm to abide, I am to dwell, and I am to live. I'm to live this life steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, abiding in the presence of God.
Right.
Now, this word abide, this meno, is also a derivative of the word that we use for tabernacle. And when they built a tabernacle, you know why they built a tabernacle for the Lord? For the Holy of Holies to have a place to abide. And people would go there, and you are to abide in the presence. It's where the presence of the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God, And so when we're invited to abide, we're invited to tabernacle with the very presence of the Holy of Holies. And when you're in the Holy of Holies, you don't think you're going to produce fruit? Oh, you are. It's when you don't stay in the Holy of Holies, when you don't abide in the presence of Him, and you get on this roller coaster and allow it to take you where you never were supposed to go, that you lose your fruit, thus you lose your reward. Touch your neighbor and say, get you some of this. Now, this teeter-totter effect shows up everywhere in life possible. Everywhere. I'm talking about in your, let's stick with marriage. How many know in your marriage this will show up? You know what will happen? One minute you love them, next minute you want to shoot them. Now there used to be a man saying, women and I love you, so this is kind of a joke. Women, can't live with them? Nope. Can't live with them, can't shoot them. They'll put you in jail. What's you to do? Same could be said for men. Can't live with them, can't shoot them, they'll put you in jail, okay? But see, some people think, well, marriage is sustained by these little butterflies and dates and, oh, it's sweetness. And when real marriage happens, I didn't sign up for that. I'm going to dump that and chase the next butterfly. Feelings. Everybody say feelings. What's the first thing? Don't live by your feelings. Marriage is sustained in covenant, not feelings. Right, Corey and Savannah? Gotcha. How about your everyday walk with God? You don't think this is going to try to get in your life? We done talked about some of them. You'll only read when you're in trouble. Only pray when you're in trouble. Only worship when you feel like it. This shows up in our everyday life. Oh, I'll worship and attend church as long as I like the music and the sermon. But let him preach something I don't agree with. You see, all you give me is one chance to mess up. Doesn't matter how much good anybody does or the worship team does. One mess up, one thing you don't like, I'm out of here. But yet you go back to McDonald's and they ain't never got no ice cream. You give McDonald's more glory and honor and respect and weighty than you do God's house. They get your order wrong, they ain't got no ice cream half the time, but yet you pull right back through there, give your number, get your free fry. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Mature Christians worship because God's just simply because He's worthy. It's not about a feeling. If you wait to do stuff when you feel like it, you may not ever worship. God's worthy whether you've had a good week or not. Amen. And of course, we done talked about church a little bit. People will, I thought I heard it thunder a while ago, didn't I? This ain't no joke. You ask my wife here. When we first come here, if there was a chance of rain, our crowd would be half. Chance of rain. People just stay at home on Sundays. Tornado warnings, tornado watches, get up and go to work Monday, though. Drive through it. Got to get to work. Because I put more value on my job than I do worshiping in the house of God. I mean, it's just real. Thank God that spirit's gone for the most part in here today. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. See, roots don't grow deep by just visiting. If you go out there and you snatch your garden up every time, you look at there and say, okay, just visit the soil for a few hours. I'm going to snatch you back up, take you over here, praise you around town. You can go do everything else, and I'll come back and put you in here 1 hour a day. Hey, don't expect no growth out of that. How do you think you're going to grow as a Christian? You abide. You remain where God plants you. I ain't got time to go there. How about just our general relationships? We live in a culture now where we just bail at anything. Used to, when we were growing up, if you had a friend, you almost had a friend for life, some of them. Amen? Now, sometimes there's a blessing in losing some so-called friends. Somebody say amen to that. Because if you got a real friend, they're going to be happy when you get to God, happy for you chasing God. If you got one trying to drag you back into an old lifestyle, that ain't a friend. Listen, you need better friends, okay? You need real ones. But we just quit relationships. Just quit them. It kills me in church. Every time somebody leaves the church, half the time I don't even know they're leaving. They didn't tell me. And then they'll go out here and say, well, you know, we've been going to my church for 3 months. Ain't nobody called and checked on us. That's why we left. Let's see, I married you, buried your parents, and last time I checked, that phone works two ways. And last time I checked, we didn't leave you, you left us. Now, I'm going to tell you, I still love you, absolutely. But you want me to take time for you to not come here when I got people that are coming here that I need to focus on to grow. It's just a special time. Special people, special times. But yet you didn't check on nobody while you were even here yourself. But you want a church that's going to take care of you. Oh, don't get me on that. I'll go all day. Just we quit friendships, we quit church, we'll quit jobs, we'll quit marriages at the drop of a hat now. Why? Put the next note up, I'll tell you why. Because quitting has become easier than enduring. If we're going to have to endure something, to heck with it, let's just go somewhere else. Marriage, life, friends, organizations, we've just created a totally faithless generation. There's no faithfulness in anything. I mean, look at college sports now. If I don't get paid enough and get the start, I'll go somewhere else. There is no more going to a college because you want to be that college. You want to join and wear the colors and represent. Now it's all about pay me or I'm going somewhere else. I'll quit on you in a heartbeat. You're going to let them start over me? Well, you didn't let me play. You got on to me during practice, so I'm leaving. Right. We've created a quitting generation because it's easier to quit than it is to endure something. Let me tell you something. If you think you're going to go through life without having to endure something, you are sadly mistaken. You live in a fallen world. There is sin. There is corruption. There is liars. There are cheats. You're going to get done wrong. People are going to let you down, but God will never fail you. Put your thumb out of your mouth, change your diaper, get your big boy britches on, and live according to God. My goodness. Nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt not be offended. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you are going to be offended. Read Luke 17:1. It'll tell you. Y'all okay? Y'all okay? Steadfast people will always stay where God plants them. Quitters will leave every time. But here's what the devil knows. See, your consistency, your steadfastness, that becomes your testimony. Yes. Are you listening to me? Yep. That becomes your testimony. You know, my marriage at one time, we struggled. And I thought it was gone. But I didn't give up. I kept praying and pressing. And now, here's where we are good. Right. My walk with God at one time, it was tempted. I couldn't feel God. I didn't feel like none of my prayers were being answered, but I didn't give up. I just kept on praying. That's right. And then one day, out of the blue, God really came through. I almost gave up the faith. Oh, and at church, they didn't sing the songs I liked. They didn't do this I liked. They didn't get the carpet color I liked. The pastor preached something I didn't like. But bless God, you know what? I realize that ain't nobody in that whole church perfect, but we all trying to serve the same God. Ain't none of us perfect. So you know what? When everybody else, and then this happened in the church, and everybody else left, and they were leaving, but we prayed, and we stayed, and we saw how God transitioned us through that valley of the shadow of death. But in a few months later, a year later, we're now back on the mountaintop, and we stayed faithful to it and through it. We didn't quit because everybody else quit. And in our relationships, my best friend, he ended up doing this. He got caught in this sin. But you know what? When everybody else walked away and turned their backs on him, we stayed. We prayed for him. And then one day they called for help and we were there to help them. And now they're totally restored. And they're living for God and they're raising a godly family. So we didn't bail on every relationship. But see, it's become so much easier just to toss it to the side and go on. real quickly, put up the next note. This is a declaration I want to make to you. No more middle ground. Turn to your neighbor and say, no more middle ground. Come on, guys. Can we just get off the middle ground? Can we either go all in or all out? Now, again, you're not going to be, everybody here has struggles. Everybody here has this thing to ride in every part of their life. Again, it shows up in every part of your life, but you get to decide if you want to stay on it. And especially if it's you on one side and the devil on the other, and he's riding high over your life, do you know what you do when you're down here? You jump off right quick. Boom. Toss his little tail out there and let him roll. Don't stay on it. Don't keep riding it. Set that joker up and bail on him. Amen? Revelations chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I know I just preached this the other day, but I quoted it, so I want you to see it for yourself. The words of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I know your works. He didn't say, I know your religious stuff. He said, I see what you do. He says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor are you hot. I wished you were cold or hot. Verse 16, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, says the Lord. Amen. What part of this lifestyle do you understand makes the Lord sick?
Right.
Makes him sick. He wants to vomit, spew. Gosh, guys, come on. It's not rocket science. Do you know there's no place found in the Word of God where God ever rebuked people for being passionate and worshiping and following his commands? The only rebuke he ever gave was to the Christians who wanted name only and no action. He always rebuked the Pharisees. What were they? They were religious. The Sadducees, religious. Wanted the title and all the honor, but didn't want to live it the way it was meant to be lived. Wanted to have one foot in and one foot out. Wanted to be on the middle ground, lukewarm. He says, that ain't going to cut it. That don't cut it. He said, I'll spew that out of my mouth every time. Amen? Let me just say it like this. We talked about this here a little bit. The reason he was rebuking them is because they got comfortable. Comfortable is that place that don't really exist called lukewarm. Now, we're all the striving and trying Christians. I call myself a WIP Christian, W-I-P. I'm still a work in progress. W-I-P, I'm a work in progress. But I'm not trying to get on this every day and try to work it out here. I'm working it out here. I'm working it out here. I'm working it out here. Amen? Never have been rebuked for being passionate with the Lord. But have been when I've been half. Well, so what is comfortable? Half committed, half surrendered, half obedient, half faithful.
Amen.
Just half. Oh, you know, I'm committed some. I've surrendered some things in my life. I've been obedient every once in a while, you know. Sometimes I feel like I can do really good, faithful things. God's calling his church. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. God's calling his church out of this so-called place called lukewarmness.
Amen.
His church. Now, there are a lot of churches that don't mean they're his.
That's right.
And I got news for you. If we ever get away from the Word of God here, we can still do this building. We can build other buildings. But if we don't preach this Word, we're not his church. We can gather a gathering, we can look good, we can play the role, but if we don't go by the Word of God in this place, we are no longer his church. And I'm telling you today, he's calling his church in this season we're in out of lukewarmness. Or you ain't gonna survive what's coming. Let me just say it like this, I put it in your notes like this. The days of casual Christianity are ending. Man, I don't know if you pay attention, but there's a remnant coming up in this younger generation. They are so sick and tired of political correctness. They are tired of hearing he said, she said. They want truth.
That's right.
They're searching for what is real. We know, well, the different political parties, one's screaming this, one's screaming this, one church is screaming this, one church is screaming this. They're over here accepting everything. They're over here saying you got to do all these rituals. What is right? We want truth. And here it is. I'm telling you, some of this younger generation, man, they're going back after God. They're fed up with the religious spirit. They're fed up with political correctness. They're fed up with the culturally correct people. They want to know what thus saith the word of God. And they're like, just give it to us. We're big enough to understand it. But we've coddled them and babied them and changed their little poopy diapers and paddled them. Anything you want to do, let's just appease you. They don't want to be appeased. They want truth. And if we don't give them truth, the world will give them the lie. That's why the church is from the pulpits to the back door. We cannot back up on the truth of the word. We are not preaching it out of hate. We're not preaching it out of anger. We're preaching it because lives are invested. It's heaven or hell, folks. I want to see you go to heaven. Amen. The times that we are living in right now demand that we not be teeter-tottering with the word of God. Well, I like this part, but I don't like this. Well, I like this, but I don't like this. You're going to learn to love it all. Amen. Listen to me now, one way or the other. One way or the other, this thing has already won. Amen. Y'all okay? Amen. All right, I got to hurry. Hebrews 10:23, the Bible says, let us hold fast. Everybody say, hold fast. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promises what? You know what the word hold fast means? I ain't going to put it up there for you today. Just three little quick things I found. It means to not drift from the truth. It means don't wobble. I like that word. Kind of like teeter-totter. Don't wobble. And you know what the last definition I found was? Get this. Don't teeter. That's why I put it in there. Amen? So when he says hold fast, it means don't drift away, don't wobble, and don't teeter. A steadfast Christian will say things like this. Even when I don't understand what's going on in my life, in my marriage, in my community, I don't even understand what's going on in church. I don't understand some things, but I trust God more. A sold out Christian will say something like this. Even when I don't feel like worshiping, even when I don't feel like getting in my Bible, even when I feel like I don't lift my voice or lift my hands, I'm going to worship him anyway because he's worthy. That's what they say. A sold out, non-tearing, lukewarm Christian will also say, I don't care if I don't feel like I'm getting my prayers answered. Right. Come on. Right. I don't care if nothing ever changes. I don't care if I don't get the phone call. I don't care if I do get the phone call. I don't care if I'm praying and it seems like nothing's being answered. I'm gonna stay faithful to God and his word through it all. I don't care if he ever blesses me one single more time in my life. He's already blessed me with eternal life. So I'm going to stay thankful until I see that eternal life. Why? Go ahead and put it up. Why? Because my faith isn't built on my circumstances. My faith is built on Christ and his word. And when you can say that, you can beat every odd that the enemy throws at you. You get off that anytime you want. Anytime you want, you can bail off of that. Nobody's super glued your rump to that. I said rump. It's okay. Some of us, even right here today, everybody say right here.
Right here.
Your Christian life is just like this. You want to know why I know? Because my Christian life has been there too. I dare say every one of us has been on this thing, even since we've been saved. Come on, ask your neighbor, say, are you perfect? If they said, yeah, look at them and say, you're a liar. Everybody, so we're all on the even ground, right? We've all been on this roller coaster, this teeter-totter called life that throws things at you. Say amen.
Amen.
And the enemy, this is where he wants you. When you're down here, he wants to look down at you and say, see, you're unworthy. And when you go up there, he's going to say, you can't stay up here. You know you're not going to be good enough. Let me remind you of what you've done back here. Let me remind you of how you turned your back on your friends. Let me remind you how you cussed. He's going to show you all your failures, and then down you're going to go. He's going to get up there and say, I told you so. That's where you belong, down there. Stay down there. Just teeter-totter. He wants you unstable in your reactions. He wants you to be reactive instead of proactive. And most of all, Satan wants you driven by your emotions and your feelings. Because if he can get you there, that's unstable. Say amen. But how many know today God's inviting you to something much better? It's called faith in the one who has never failed. The one who don't teeter on his love for you. The one that didn't blink an eye when it said it was time to send his son to die in your place. He didn't go, I wonder if I love him enough. I don't know if they've been good enough. You think it'll really make a difference to him if I do? He didn't blink an eye. He said, go, son. Go die for him. Go sacrifice. He would have done it for one. No more middle ground. No more emotional teeter-totter. No more speculation Christianity. I hadn't said it in a while, but there's two kinds of so-called Christians. Spectators and participators. And I'll tell you this, you can come here and spectate for a while. We're fine with that. But we don't want that to be your whole life here. We want you participating, especially during worship. Because you can get healed during worship. You can get set free during worship. You can receive a miracle right in the middle of worship. Because that's what worship is for, the presence of God. Don't have to wait to the end of the service. I don't know where we all got that. Traditions of men. You know what the Bible says about the traditions of men? It's made the word of God null and void of no effect. So anytime you want to come to the altar's open while I'm preaching. Yes, the altar's open while I'm preaching. The altar's open there. This altar doesn't shut down. Amen? 24/7. The kingdom of God is not advancing with people who will only occasionally show up for God. What if our military right now, since we're back at it with Iran, what if our pilots and the people who manned everything says, I'm not coming in this week. Our military, our might only advances because people are there. The army, the military, the army of God only advances because people show up. The kingdom cannot advance with the army sitting at home. Not engaged in the battle. I just come out of 3 weeks talking about warring for a nation. You're not going to win if you're not in the battle. But it does advance with people who will stand firm in their faith. And what that looks like on a daily basis is different from everybody else. You don't have to look like everybody else. You just got to look like the best version of you according to this. Amen? Because this has never been defeated, and I got news for you. It never will. I don't like what all's in there. It don't matter, honey. You got the right in America not to like it if you don't want to, but it don't make a bit of difference, a hill of beans, as we say down here in the South. Whether you like it or whether you want to misinterpret it or whatever, it doesn't matter. Because this was what you're going to be judged by when you get in front of him. He and the Word are one. Can't be separated. Stand to your feet. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ, that's our first priority. That's our first priority. Now, let me tell you something. This teeter-totter, yeah, this is where a lot of Christians ride. It's also where lost people ride. It's never accepted Christ. Because sometimes you go to church and you feel like, man, I feel the Holy Spirit moving right here. Satan will come during this very moment right here and use somebody moving or coughing, a fly or something to distract you. To where you won't surrender your life to Christ. Amen? Did anybody ever notice we have music playing when you walk up? Yes. Anybody notice that? Yeah. Anybody ever notice when you go to the bathrooms there's music playing in there? Yeah. Do you know the only time the music don't play? Is when I'm preaching. You know what plays while I'm preaching? It's preaching. Because where do people go when they get convicted? They go outside or they go to the bathroom. Gotcha!
This is the voice of the Lord. Return to the sanctuary and get saved.
Lost and on a teeter-totter. But when you finally recognize the voice of the Lord, you'll dump the devil and you'll get off and you'll run to Jesus. And when you run to Jesus, the devil will recover. He'll get back on there and say, come on, it's fun over here. Even as a Christian, you can still compromise. Come on. Come on, you ain't got to be all in. Don't be one of those Jesus freaks. But before you can be a Jesus freak, you got to be saved by grace. So bow your heads this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, right now, we don't want you. We're not worried about joining any church today, not even here, okay? We're not worried about you becoming a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a disciple of Christ. That's the denomination. You are going to become a disciple if you get saved, okay? Assembly of God, Church of God, we're not worried about religion today. We're worried about you leaving here and not knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and surrendering your life to Him and becoming a son and daughter of the Most High God. So if that's you today and you would say, today I receive what God's been trying to do probably most of my life, and that's get me to Him, get me to His love. You don't have to understand everything, but you have to have enough faith to know that Jesus was and is the Christ, the Son of God. He came to earth as a human being. He died for your sins because you could never pay for them yourself. I couldn't either. That's why we need a Savior. And then you surrender, you repent from your past, tell Him you're sorry, you repent, and then you receive Him as Lord. And then you start getting your Bible, getting in prayer, and let Him plant you where He wants to plant you in a church, and you begin to walk this Christian life out. There'll be times a teeter-totter gets into your life, but you got every authority in Jesus to not allow that. So if that's you this morning, and you're ready to surrender your life and become that son and daughter of God, just lift your hand up and say, today's my day. Anybody? Anyone in here? All right. So we got a bunch of good, saved people in here today. How many of you could relate to this teeter-totter? Now, everybody said it the first, you could. But when it comes down to making a difference now, making some changes, well, I don't know if I really want to confess that now or not. Because you done confessed it, so now you got to do something with it. And guess what? If I could make you, I would, but I can't. But I can just tell you His word, and He is worthy of it, for you to get off the teeter-totters of your life, start getting more into your Bible, start doing what the word says, and getting with some people who do it also, and find strength in them. But guess what? Now listen to me real closely. I know it sounds counterproductive. Everybody you go to in the kingdom of God, if you see them on a teeter-totter, you may not want to get the best spiritual advice from them. Now, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But you can tell whether or not we're riding a teeter-totter. And you can tell who's off of it. And when they come off, they've got some experience to tell you how to stay off. So right now, if that's you and you just say, Father, I need some things in my life to go away. And I'm going to believe that you are powerful enough to empower me to come off this roller coaster, this teeter-totter ride that I've been on. Father, I am going to not live by my feelings, and I'm not going to allow my emotions to control me anymore. I rebuke the lie that says I got to get mad at everything. I rebuke the lie that says I got to control everyone. I rebuke the lie that says I got to make everybody else feel bad to vault myself up. I rebuke the lie that I'm not good enough. I rebuke jealousy and envy and pride and lust. And I just rebuke all that stuff in the name of Jesus. Amen? And I decide to live my life as an open vessel for God to pour into. So, Father, would you just honor those requests in this house today, God? Honor those homes, those marriages, Lord, the churches, Father, not just Journey Church here in Eva, but all the churches, God, that are your churches that are not going to compromise the word of God. They're going to preach hard, they're going to preach fast, but they're going to preach truth, and they're not going to preach it out of hate, they're preaching it out of a passionate truth. Because that's what your world needs. That's the only thing that can defeat the devil, is pure, absolute, 100% real truth. So, Lord, we come to you and we thank you for that right now. Everybody say, truth. Come to me through the Spirit and the word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him glory in this house. Yeah!
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.